We're back in the book of Haggai. If you need a Bible, please raise a hand. One of our welcome team will bring you one. Wonderful.
The reading tonight is taken from Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, and it's on page 949 of the Church Bible. 949 of the Church Bible. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty.
Thank you very much. Please keep your Bibles open. Just a pre-warning, by the way, my voice, as you can probably already tell, is on its way out. So please be patient with me. We can have some laughs together at some squeaks. But let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help as we look at this part of his words. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the time that we have spent in Haggai. Thank you for how it has taught us and encouraged us to get on with the work of building your church. Father, help us, we pray, as we look at this final section this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I am not a very experienced mountain climber. I don't know how many of you are. In fact, the only so-called mountains that I have scaled are those in the UK, which are really not really mountains at all. They're all in the Lake District. And one of my fondest memories is climbing Scarfell, which is not Scarfell Pike, it's kind of its little brother, in the Lake District with some friends and my brother in the summer of 2020. My mate Dan was the man with the map, and so we followed him as we ascended this mountain, intentionally taking, as kind of young men do, a slightly adventurous route. As we ascended this mountain, though, we realized we'd made a mistake, because the route that we had taken was really no route at all. It was essentially steep, wet grass. We did have a laugh about it at the end, but in reality, we were tired, we had no grip, and at points, we had absolutely no clue where we were going. Why am I telling you this story? Well, as we have been looking at Haggai this term, we have seen God's people get to work in building the temple. And as we've done that, we have been challenged about what it means to build his church today under the Lord Jesus. But it is worth calling out, isn't it, that sometimes building the church feels a little bit like climbing a mountain. Often we may feel weary. Often our metaphorical legs are burning, we are tired, and our feet seem to be slipping. And friends, that is why I found this final portion of Haggai this week so helpful. Because I think it gives us two big encouragements for weary workers. Two big encouragements for weary workers. And the first is this: stand back and remember that God wins. Stand back and remember that God wins. When you climb mountains, often you are hands on knees, aren't you? lungs burning, head down, plodding, one step at a time. And the Christian life can feel like this, right? Hands on knees, plodding. But any experienced climber will tell you the value of stopping, stepping back, and looking up. Look up at where you are heading. What is the goal? It encourages you to keep going because you are moving closer towards the end. And that is what we get in verse 20 to verse 22. See, God had already spoken to the priests in chapter 2, verse 10. But when we get to verse 20, he directs his words to a man named Zerubbabel, who is the political leader of God's people at this time. And what does he say? Well, look down with me. Verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second month on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, a governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. Zerubbabel is 3 months deep into the work, the nitty-gritty, callus-forming work of building the temple, and God gives him a cosmic zoom out. Zerubbabel would have been under pressure. He would have the king, Darius, and the nations around him looking on. And so God zooms him out and lifts his gaze. Beyond the nitty-gritty details of the work he had been called to do, and gives him some perspective. So imagine you're reading a book. Let's say you're midway through the book, and you get to the twist. The main character looks like they're dead. And so you feel a bit sad and you close the book. You're a little bit confused. So you do what everyone tells you never to do. You turn to the back and you open the book at the final chapter. And you read that actually the good guys win. And the bad guys are crushed, and so you smile again. Come on, this is all right, isn't it? This book, I can keep going with this book. So you open it again. And that is what God does in verse 21. He reminds Zerubbabel that they are heading towards a destination. History has a destination, and that destination is God wins. God wins. And friends, some of us are in need of that encouragement. See, like the people in Haggai's day, we are given a mission. Build the church. Work under the Lord Jesus at making disciples of all nations. But unlike Zerubbabel, some of us may have been doing this work for a little bit more than 3 months. For some of us, it might be 3 years. For some, 30. And for some of us, many, many more. And so there is a temptation, isn't there, for us to feel weary. Weary in the work of building Jesus' global church. Weary in the work of making him known in Enfield Town. And so we sometimes need to be reminded to stop. Stand back and lift our eyes. Lift your eyes from the hands on knees, plodding of mountain climbing mission, and remind ourselves of where we're going. The Lord Jesus is coming to judge. And no matter what difficulties we face today, God wins. God wins. And it's not just a little mini moral victory. It's not just a little fine margins victory, a win on penalties. No. Look at verse 21 to 22. It is intentional. It says there, heaven and earth. That's Bible language for everything. Remember Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, everything. So Jesus is going to come and the whole created world is going to be shaken. Not just the heavens, but also the earth. Not just the thrones, but also the powers. Not just the chariots, but also their drivers. Not just the horses, but also their riders. Everything. Friends, do we believe this? Do we believe this? For many of us, this won't be new news, right? We know this in our heads, but it wasn't to Zerubbabel either. In chapter 2, verse 6, only 2 months beforehand, God had already told him that this is going to happen. And so he reminds him again. Friends, we need this reminder. So often we can take our right concern for the things of today and the ways and the ministries that we serve the Lord Jesus, but so often we can take them and become so fixated on them that we lose our perspective. Sometimes we need to hear the words of God in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted." There will come times when building the church will come with its struggles, its persecutions, and its difficulties. At work, in friendships and relationships. Perhaps you can think of some now. Let's take one example that is particularly important for this local church. Let's think about Turkey Street and those called by God to plant a church there. And there is a temptation, I am sure, to start to feel weary. And if there isn't now, there will. Or start to doubt the work that they are going to do. This might be because of pushback from those in or out of the church that tell them they're crazy. Why would you do that? It might be because the task is daunting. How are we going to do it? And it is in these moments that we need to step back, lift our gaze, and look at the future. God wins. And friends, I've been really struck this week by the fact that this is God's final direct word to Zerubbabel. And they're final words that we perhaps wouldn't expect. Zerubbabel, keep building the temple, and here's some more cash to help you feel a bit more comfortable. No. Zerubbabel, keep building my temple, and here are some more people for the bricklaying rota. No. My servant Zerubbabel, I need you to take a moment to step back and remember, I'm going to win. I've got this. I know where we're going. We're going to win. Stand back and remember that God wins. Let me take you back to my endeavors up my mountain. Heads down. If you don't remember where I was, heads down, lungs bursting, plodding on wet, slippy grass. And we've seen the value of stopping, standing back, and gaining some perspective. But there was another thing that we, as a band of brothers scaling this relatively tiny mound, were in need of. We needed perspective, but we also needed grip. We were slipping. The grass was soaking wet. If I can be really specific, my brother was in need of a particular grip because he had picked, besides high heels, particularly the worst selection of shoes. He'd gone for like basketball trainers. It was almost impossible for him. He basically climbed twice as far as us. But the point is true, right? When you're climbing a mountain, you need grip. You need security. You need something that gets your feet to stay on the ground. Because if you do have that security, I promise you, climbing a mountain is so much easier. And as we soldier on in the mission of building God's kingdom, we also need security, grip. And that is what brings us to our second encouragement today. Stand secure in God's chosen one. In our passage, you may have noticed there is two very different prophecies. There is one given to the nations that we've just seen, of judgment and punishment. And there is one given to Zerubbabel in verse 22. Look down with me. 23. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. It is a beautiful image. God singles out this relatively weak man and promises to make him like a signet ring. You might know what a signet ring is. They kind of had a little bit of a jump back into popular fashion amongst the kids. But in those days, a signet king represented a number of things. Firstly, it represented value. One of the most important possessions for a king. Why? Well, because it also represented authority. Official documents would have been stamped and sealed either with wax or with some sort of stamp on by the signet ring. In fact, if you have excellent memory, if you cast your eyes back to Esther when we did that series together, in Esther chapter 8, verse 8, we read that the king seals a document with his signet ring. And God says to Zerubbabel that he's going to take him and make him like his signet ring. See, whilst the heavens and the earth are shaken to the core, feeling the full wrath of God's righteous anger, it is Zerubbabel who is plucked up and fastened onto the right hand of God. Whilst everything and everyone is shaken, Zerubbabel can stand secure. And this is pretty cool news. But to fully understand how incredible this is, we need to go back. In Jeremiah chapter 22, God pronounces judgment on the kings of Judah that had been unfaithful. These are kings that have turned back on God and led the people astray. Some of the language we get is in Jeremiah 22:13. And we read that the kings have been, I quote, building their palaces by unrighteousness. And God says, who is this that builds his palace by unrighteousness? And so this is the judgment that God gives. He says this, he says, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. Somber words. Because we do not deserve to be called God's signet ring. We live our lives like these Judean kings. Like the kings, we are busy building our palaces by unrighteousness. And in fact, even in the work of busying ourselves in the building of the church, it's so easy to turn it into an act of building my kingdom. We live in a culture of mine, 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 don't we? My house, my rules. Famous phrase, isn't it? My grades, my job, my my housing market, getting on the housing ladder, my wage, my salary, my stuff. Mine, mine, mine. And like these kings, we build our little palaces by unrighteousness. And we like to sit on our thrones in a world of mine, mine, mine. The problem is, if we do that, the warning is there in Haggai chapter 2, verse 22. God will come and he will overturn our little thrones. He will shatter them and overthrow them. If we build our palaces by our unrighteousness, God will come and smash it to pieces. But Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, tells us that there is one. There is one. One who has been chosen. For this prophecy was given to Zerubbabel to point him and us forward to the one who would come. Because in Zerubbabel's family line, if you were to flick to Matthew chapter 1, verse 13, you don't need to now, but you can later. In Zerubbabel's family line comes the Lord Jesus. And far from being like us and building his little palace by unrighteousness, he comes down away from his palace and builds his kingdom by his righteousness. And his righteousness alone. And it is him that God looks at. And far from saying, I'm going to pull you off my finger, he says, with you I am well pleased. And despite being the only righteous one, as we looked at this morning, it is him whose hands are pierced. It is him who is crushed and overthrown. It is Jesus that takes the punishment that we deserve for building our little palaces by our unrighteousness. But there is one, the Lord Jesus. And if we trust in him for our salvation, the New Testament calls you in Christ. So if you are in Christ today, you are in Jesus, the signet ring. If you are in Christ, you are securely fixed upon the right hand of God. And you are no more likely to be discarded from that position than the Lord Jesus is himself. That, my friends, is totally unparalleled security. It's pretty good grip. And just like a signet ring would sit proudly upon the right hand of the king, where is the Lord Jesus now? But sitting at the right hand of God, having accomplished his work of salvation. And so, friends, as we are weary in the work of making Jesus known, look to him. See him at the right hand of God, having accomplished our salvation on the cross, having beaten death through his resurrection. And it is as we do that that we can stand secure. It is the only way to stand secure. Because the signet ring is back on. And he is sitting on the throne. Keep going in the work of building Jesus' kingdom, knowing that you are chosen, you are loved, and you are kept by God. And nothing, writes Paul, can separate you from the love of God in Christ. And it is this security that means that as we stand back and lift our gaze and look to future judgment, it doesn't fill you with dread. Because if you cannot stand secure, the promise that God will one day return and shake the heavens and the earth, well, that's not good news. In fact, that's the worst news. It is no encouragement at all. So if you would not call yourself a Christian here today, hear the warning. See the final chapter of history, Jesus coming to shake everything. And that only those trusting in the Lord Jesus will be able to stand secure. Put your trust in Jesus today, the chosen one, the signet ring who came and offers you eternal life. Because for those who do trust him, it is an encouragement. Because as the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Friends, as we get weary in the work of building Jesus' church, we can be encouraged by these final words to Zerubbabel. Encouraged to stand back, lift our gaze, and look that to the future that God wins. And encouraged to stand secure in the chosen one. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we admit that we often feel weary. Weary in the work of making the Lord Jesus known in Enfield. And so, Father, we pray that you would encourage us. Encourage us to keep going. Help us to remember that you are going to win. That you are coming. The Lord Jesus is coming and he is going to judge the living and the dead. Father, may that encourage us in our day-to-day work of building the church. And Father, we thank you so much that your Son came. He left his palace, his throne, and built your kingdom by his righteousness. Thank you that we can stand secure in Jesus, the signet ring. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.